This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session in the JPR studios. Joining me today is Mr. Noah Gunderson. Welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
And with you is your sister, Abby. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you as well. Noah, you are originally from Centralia, Washington. Some of the press nowadays just refers to Seattle because that's where you're based. But originally from Centralia, this is not a huge town.
No.
And it's not a particularly musical town. So yeah. What was growing up like in Centralia for you?
I think the population is, what is it, like 16,000? It's pretty small. Growing up, there was a lot of hardcore bands. That was kind of, I think that's a trend for most small towns throughout the country, like especially in the Midwest, but also on the West Coast. There's a lot of these screamo bands.
Because they're angsty.
Yeah,
right?
The kids are just pissed off about being there. So there was that element. We went to a lot of hardcore shows, and I was in a hardcore band for a little while. And but that was really the only musical environment. And there was maybe me and like one or two other kids that like just wrote songs on their acoustic guitars. And we had a coffee shop called Santa Lucia that I would put on shows there. And I was actually doing booking for them for a while, like when I was like in high school. But that was kind of the only place we could really play. And it was cool. I actually got to go back there and play a holiday show in December at the same coffee shop. And it was cool to go back and kind of remember some of those moments.
Early years, as I understand it, you were in a household where secular music was out.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't allowed to listen to it at all?
Let's see. We had U2's Joshua Tree.
Okay.
Because it's vague enough.
That's a pretty good place to start.
It is a good place. I mean, yeah.
Dylan's Christian albums.
Bob Dylan's Christian records. A lot of like Keith Green, Larry Norman, who, you know, for what it's worth, are actually religious artists of integrity. But yeah, nothing really secular until I was in my like very early teens, like 13, 14.
Hmm. How do you relate to religion or spirituality now that you're an adult?
I don't affiliate myself with any religion. I believe there's some kind of spiritual force, but I really have no definition for it, and the older I get, the more kind of existentially depressed I become. it was funny. I was having this conversation with my friend the other day, and we were driving to Centralia actually in a van that I was selling. We were talking about how like I wasn't sure if I even believe God exists anymore. And the minute I say that, my van breaks down on the side of the freeway. And then he was like, "Well, maybe that's a sign from God." And I was like, "Well, if it is, then you know, I don't think God's very nice." But yeah, I'm not sure where I'm at with that at this point.
Noah Gunderson is my guest live in the JPR studios with his sister Abby. His new album is called Ledges. I'd love to hear a tune. What do you want to play first?
This is a song called Boathouse. Goodbye. crying like the rain. All out, screaming this ain't living, and I know you're right. Oh, Caroline, I've been wondering why you didn't pick a better man. Caroline, my Mona Lisa still can't match your smile. So go on, wave goodbye. Coming down the river, boathouse, carrying my love. Boathouse, carry them to safety up from the Mississippi mud. Where I lost my love.
That is Boathouse. It's live music from Noah Gunderson here on Jefferson Public Radio. We will have audio from today's live session and photos up on our website after at ijpr.org. Before the tune, Noah, we were talking about growing up in a home of faith and how you were dealing with that, and as you've grown into an adult, how you're continuing to deal with that. How does faith work itself into your music?
The imagery that I grew up with, I think, is so deeply ingrained in me that it's always my immediate go-to reference when I need an analogy or something to paint visuals in the songs. So in that sense, it's definitely still a part of my writing. For a while there, I felt like I'd come to a good place of kind of acceptance with the whole religious quest and was just... felt like I'd come to peace with it. I'm coming back to a weird place in my life where I'm asking a little more questions, but it hasn't really been so much about the post-Christian angst. I think now it's more, growing up in that with that kind of guideline for your life, you have a set of standards that you can look at and be like, this is how you're supposed to live as a person according to the Bible or according to what you've been told by the church. And then when you decide you don't buy into that anymore, you still have to live your life and you still have to figure out what your guidelines are for how you live and what and why. And that's the big question is, why am I supposed to treat people well? You know, why am I supposed to live a loving and caring life? And that's a challenge, because you really have to define it either by logic or by personal experience.
And has the family still been cool with where you're at?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My family is one of the most supporting, incredible group of people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing.
Now, when you started out making music, it was primarily singer-songwriter, right? Mm-hmm. But then there was a band formed, a full band called The Courage, mm-hmm. was together for a while, released an album in 2010, and then kind of broke up after the album.
Right.
Was that band music going in a direction that you weren't happy with? Is that what ended up being the death knell for it?
Most of my life has been a process of trial and error. And I'm grateful for it. It's been painfully frustrating at times. But I think any singer-songwriter, or most, reaches a point where they're tired of being a singer-songwriter. because we all want to play loud wanky guitar and we all want to, you know, rock out on stage and stuff. And
there's kind of a natural evolution of singer-songwriter albums where each subsequent album that's released is a little louder, a little bigger, mm-hmm. drums, electric guitar, bass.
And sometimes it works, and sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't. And in the case of the Courage record, it was that process of exploration and discovery, and I had this kind of idealistic view of what having a band really meant, and this brotherhood and being democratic in making music. And then I quickly realized that I'm a little too controlling for a democracy in a band. And thankfully I have an incredible band with me now on this tour, and everyone kind of gets their role and understands what's happening. And it's not trying to be a democratic rock and roll wanking band. Mm. Like, that's not what we're trying to do.
And you're still a fairly young guy, right? You're just in your mid-20s?
I'm 24.
But you have been out touring for quite a while.
Yeah.
Right? Was your first tour, were you still a teenager?
Yeah, I was, I think I was 17 or 18.
How did that work? Were you couch surfing a lot? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've been couch surfing for most of my life. I feel like, a guy named Dylan Morrison found me on MySpace when I was 17 or 18 and asked me if I wanted to go on a music tour with him. And thankfully, he didn't turn out to be a pedophile. We had a good time.
Did you have management at the time, or were you working?
No.
All the logistics was you?
I just got management a year ago.
Did you have a van or something groovy to drive around in?
A Subaru Forester.
And that was it?
Yeah.
For how many trips back and forth across the country?
Well, the Subaru was around I had several different vehicles. Let's put it that way. Went through phases.
Are some of them still out on the side of the road somewhere in the middle of the desert?
Thankfully not. Thankfully not. Close. We've had our moments.
And Abby, you joined the band, I gather, right around 2009 or so, and have been playing with Noah since? Well, and obviously before that, too, at home,
yeah.
Right?
Actually, I think our first show ever was, like, Noah's first show, my first show ever, we were together. So, yeah. And I went on part of that first tour, but not all of it, yeah.
Yeah, Abby was, when we first played our first show, Abby was, I think, 12?
12.
Wow. 13, mm-hmm.
And I was 15 or 16.
Yeah.
That must have been a heck of an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys sound amazing together. Can we hear another tune?
Sure.
What are you going to play next?
This is a song called Cigarettes.
You remind me of cigarettes. The way I hold you, in my chest. The way you kiss me, with your filter breath. And I keep thinking I'm getting over this. Once you had me, you don't have me anymore. I don't crave you in the morning or at the company store. I don't use you to escape in my fingers out the door. Once you had me, you don't have me anymore. But honey, you're smooth. Honey, you're smooth. That you do, not the way you used to. There's something after you.
Cigarettes, that is Noah Gunderson live on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from the new album called Legis, here in our studios with his sister, Abby. Noah, as you're out on tour now, not only are you with your sister, but you've got a brother in the band now, too, playing drums?
Yeah, my little brother, Jonathan.
How old is he now?
He's 20. We just keep recycling minors into the band. As soon as Abby turned 21, yeah, DDs, as soon as Abby turned 21 and we brought Johnny in.
Are there more to come? Are there more Gundersons to join the family band?
Well, our little sister Elizabeth has a band with Johnny called Lorenz, and Abby and I actually both play in that group as well. So that's kind of the family band. We actually did our first Gunderson family tour in December. It was the Gunderson family holiday tour. It was a lot of fun to take them out on the road.
The sort of like the Sean and Sarah Watkins family hour
sure.
thing that they do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is there a specific thing? Some of your earlier work focused on your own questioning and coming to understand how you fit with spirituality and questioning. Is there a theme that runs through Legis?
Yeah, being sad.
So it's an uplifting album.
It's really uplifting. The record was written mostly during a time when I was single for the first time in a really long time.
You haven't lived a really long time. I'm just going to point
that
out.
No, you're right. You're right. I've been in long-term relationships. I was in long-term relationships since the time of being 17 to like 22. So in those very formative periods of my life, which are still going on now, but I was defining myself through another person. And so I became single, and you know, I kind of shed the cloak of Christianity, along with the identity cloak of being with another person, and all these feelings of who I, like, you know, trying to figure out who I am as a man, as a person in my young 20s, and kind of like what I said earlier, like, you know, figuring out how do I define my set of values and morals.
You know, all along the process, you have been an independent artist. You had your hand on producing your earlier music. Legis comes out. This was largely self-done as well, right?
I produced everything. It was recorded and engineered at Studio Litho in Seattle. And we had been working with a producer for a while, and had done basically two versions of the record already that we scrapped. And then I ended up self-producing it in Seattle, and the third time was the charm.
And now it's picked up the attention of Dual Tone Records, right, which is amazing. Lumineers, mm-hmm. Shovels and Rope, mm-hmm. these are now your label mates.
Yeah.
The fellow Seattleites, Ivan, now Yosha, mm-hmm. Now your label mates. This is a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm label mates with some of the nicest people in music, too, which is pretty great.
Well, congratulations. The album's fantastic, by the way.
You.
Thanks so much for dropping by and visiting with us.
Absolutely.
Noah and Abby. Do we have time for one more song?
Sure.
What do you want to play out?
We'll do the title track. This is Legis.
I got a lot of loose ends. I've done some damage. I've cut the rope so it's free. I got a lot of good friends keeping me distracted, keeping my sanity safe. Yeah, I stand on the edge of the ledges I've made, looking for a steady hand. Yeah, I stand in the land full of rocks and the valleys, trying to be a better man for you. I drink a little too much. It makes me nervous. I've got my grandfather's blood. I take a little too much without giving back. And blessed are the meek, and I'm cursed. Yeah, I stand on the edge of the ledges I've made, looking for a steady hand. Yeah, I stand in the land full of rocks and the valleys, trying to be a better man. Give it all back. forgive me all that I've done. Here I stand on the edge of the ledges I've made, looking for a steady hand. Here I stand in the land for the rocks and the lands, trying to be a better man. Looking for a steady hand, oh, yeah. I stand in the land for the rocks and the valleys, trying to be a better man for you.
That is Noah Gunderson live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio with help from his sister, Abby. The new album is called Ledges. Noah, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank
you. Congratulations on the new album. Thanks for dropping by to visit with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.